Atas Masse, as Rabbi Vayevsky mentioned, it's a very special parsha's Chazak. Chazak when it's Chazek. It's really, to a certain degree, it's the end of the Torah. Because starting next week, Eila Hadvarim is really a Chazara, it is a review. It is a review of the Torah. It's a, you start again. So that means like it's almost, you know, it's like Simchas Torah this week. Simchas Torah Misayim the Torah. So it's one of, it's interesting that there's a remes that when you finish a Masechta, you're always supposed to start the Masechta. You never stop. On Simchas Torah, when you Misayim the Torah, you have to start right away. Always coincides Parshas Matos Masei Chazak Kenis Chazek, which again like we said is to a certain degree the seam of the Torah, with Chodesh Av. What is Av? Av is Aloif Bina, and Chodesh is Mechadesh. When you Messiah the Torah, you have to start right, you have to start all over again. It's Rosh Chodesh Av, Rosh Chodesh, it's the Chodesh of Aloif Bina. Aleph Beis means, you know, we always refer to the Torah with the letters of the Aleph Beis. Aloif Bina, it's a Chodesh of renewal. The Beis Hamikdash was destroyed in Chodesh Av, but that just triggers for us a requirement to start again and never give up. Sheva Pamim Yipol Tzadik V'kam, and we renew our commitment to Hashem, especially through the Koyach of Torah. And it's not a coincidence that the Bein HaMitzarim takes place at a time of renewal. Because again, you have to appreciate it. The end of Bamidbar really is the Sim HaTorah. It's the Sim of HaTorah HaMitzvos. Chumash Devarim is just a review. It's a review course. Eile HaDevarim Shadibim Moshe. Moshe is giving Musar. Moshe here reviews the Torah. Obviously, of course, he adds there are many mitzvahs that only appear in Chumash Devarim that do not appear in Chumash in the four Chumashim, but still to a very large degree, this is called Mishneh Torah. It is a summary, it is a review of the Torah from a different perspective, and this always coincides, takes place during the Bein HaMitzarim. Why? To remind us, although we're now during a Tekufa of the year of Churban, of where we have been to a degree defeated, doesn't matter. Just because there's defeat, it's the time to refresh and to renew. It's a new cycle. It's a new. There is renewal, and the renewal is Chamishei Chumshei Torah have concluded, but yet we start again. Eila Hadvarim, we review everything that we had. The cycle continues, never give up. Whenever there's a feeling of defeat, just stand right back up. Sheva Pamibol Tzadik Vokav. Okay, there's another, now in this week, we have over here this week, it's also very important to note that finally this week we go catch up to Eretz Yisrael. Good things come to those who wait. The last number of weeks, Eretz Yisrael has been one parsha ahead due to the way the calendar worked out this year. And finally, this week is when we lay two parashas, Matas Masei, and an Eretz Yisrael lay parashas Masei. We finally catch up to Eretz Yisrael. This Eretz, usually 95% of the time, we lay the two parashas together. What is the connection between parashas Matos and Masei? Nothing is a coincidence. Why are these two parashas juxtaposed? If we go back to parashas Vayetze, in the beginning of Parashas Vayetze, Yaakov Avinu, he sets out on a journey. Yaakov Avinu, after he got the brachas from Yitzchak, and Esau found out, Esau wanted to kill Yaakov Avinu, and the Golus began. Yaakov Avinu was told by his parents it's time for him to leave. Yitzchak, it's not so clear what Yitzchak told him to get married. Rivka said that your brother Esau, I know Piruach HaKodesh, he has intent to kill you, and therefore you're in danger and you must flee. And indeed, he runs away, he stops off to learn a little bit, 14 years, and they smell a shame, the Eder. He then reaches Aram Naharayim, he reaches the place of Lavan, he comes back for a few moments to the Beis HaMikdash, to Har HaMoriah, to Beis El, and he davens. He goes to sleep, he wakes up, he has a dream. In the dream he sees the Sulam, the Malachi Elokim Olam Yerdin Boy, and then he is Misfalo. And the tefillah is a very powerful tefillah. And the tefillah be'etzem, he makes a neder. He makes a neder and he says, Im Ye Elokim Madi, I read the words, Vayashkin Yachim Aboy, Kavikach Hasev Rashasom Rashasov, Vayasim Oysam Atzei, where he takes the Yemen that he put underneath his head, Vayasim Oysam Atzei, Vayitzek Shem Al-Roisha, and calls a Beisel, and then he says, Vayidar Yaakov Neder Leila. He makes a neder. Im Yelchim Modi, Hashem will be with me, Shemani Berech Hazeh, Hashem Chvelech, Unasli Lechem Lechel, Vedelubash, Veshavti, Veshalom, Beis Ovi, Behoya Hashem Li Lelokim, and make a neder, Hashem will be my God, and the Evan Hazoyz, Asher Samti, Ma'atziva, Yeh Beis Elokim, it will be the Beis HaMikdash, V'chol Asher Titim Li Aser Asher Nulach. And then, right away, Vayisa Yaakov Raglov, he picks up his feet, Vayelech Arza Vinei Kedem. He goes east. Go west. What's the expression? Go west, young man?
West,
what?
Go west.
Go west, young man. Okay, so Yaakov went east. Yaakov went east. What's happening over here? So Rashi explained, it's very much very pshat. I just want to suggest that this episode here is Maise Avos Simin Labanim, and also it's not a coincidence that these parshas fall out during the Bein HaMetzarim. Yaakov Avinu is now setting out. He's going into Golus. He's going into Golus. Yaakov Avinu, he grew up in his youth at home with his parents, with his brother, and he absorbed the Messiah from his father, from his mother. And then he had this incident with Esav, where his mother, Rivka, said, you must be the one who receives the blessings, and that is how it has to be. And he received the brachos, and then Esav wanted to kill him, and now Yaakov Avinu has to run away from Eretz Yisrael. Leaving Eretz Yisrael is Golos. He went for 22 years into the home of Lavan. For 20 years he was there, 2 years traveling, besides the 14 years that he spent in the Beis Medrash Shem V'Eiver. Yaakov Avinu is now going into Golus. This is a very difficult time. Before he travels into Golus, he makes a neder. And the neder is, Im Yihyeh Elokim Imadi. And Rashi asks the question, what do you mean? What about all of the haftochis before he left? Yitzchak gave Yaakov the brachos more than once. Besides the brachos that he received directly from the brachos, the birchas Yitzchak, but after Yitzchak told him, you now have to go and get married and find the zivuk, he blessed him again, and Rivka blessed him, and he has now the haftacha of Avraham and Yitzchak. He has the brachos. What could he possibly be afraid of, that he should have to make a neder, should worry about? Why does he have to go through this situation? What do you mean? Hashem is with you. It's a guarantee. So Rashi says, there are no guarantees in life. No matter what, there are no guarantees. Shema Yigroim Hachet. You could have in your pocket everything, every possible guarantee. It doesn't matter.
Something of a portion translate the word im as since, not if.
What do you mean by that?
Since God will be with me, then I will do all the
things. Aha, that's not as a second. That's a chiddush.
They bring riots that the word a lot of times in other places, the word im is translated as if.
Okay, but the Pasha Pshad, Chazal say is Shema Yigroim Hachet. There are no guarantees in life. Over here, there's Klal Yisrael.
Right over there.
What?
There's another pshat.
Yeah.
Hashem guaranteed that Yaakov would return well, but now he's coming back with wives and children.
So that's later. That's later. That's.
That's why he was afraid, because he didn't have a guarantee. Shema
Yigra Machet for them. All right. I mean, yeah, but you have the haftacha. You have the haftacha.
Not for them.
By year, Chazal really say, they say it there as well. They say it there is that when he met up with Esav, by year Yaakov me'oid vayetzer loy, he was terrified. Why? Shema yigroim hachet. It's all the same concept. Yaakov Avinu had to make a neder that if you Hashem will be with me, then I will reciprocate. Why? Why is that necessary? Why do you have to make a neder? Mikan noidrin de'es tzara. Yet make a neder in the time of difficulty to fortify yourself, how it all works, that's a different story, but there are no guarantees in life. And before you set out on a dangerous journey, you can't expect to that everything is going to go well because a shluchim mitzvah in a mizakin, and because you have brachas, haftachas. Chet is a very serious matter.
By the way, how come that there's no contradiction between Shem Yudah Chet?
That's later on. So right. So it doesn't matter. Just because you think that you are observant of the Tayag Mitzvahs to the nth degree, doesn't mean in Hashem's opinion that you were achieved what you're supposed to achieve.
Saying Yaakov is saying the same thing.
In Lavan Garti, but yet Yaakov says, "Vayira Yaakov Maod Maod." Vayir Yaakov Maod Vayetzer Lo. Rashi says that Yaakov was terrified. Why was he terrified? He just said, Im Lavan Garti, Vitayag Mitzvah Shamarti. So why was he afraid? Teretz is, just because I think I was in the kind of the mitzvah, I'm fooling myself. Yeah, and it's Pashat. Person goes and he can daven all he wants. You're Nogeber Dover. Who says that you have fulfilled your obligation? You don't know. People sometimes think they're saying something nice to you. And in truth, they're saying something very insulting. It's all a matter of perspective. Okay, I had someone last night, he told me something, he was trying to be very, very nice to me, and he was trying very hard to say something nice, and what he said was incredibly insulting. I thought by now I'm a bulletproof. Okay, I thought by now I've heard it all. But like, wow, that's like, that was a very creative insult. And the person has no clue. Okay, a person is always no gea b'davar. You don't know where you're holding. In any event, this is what I'm trying to say is what this parsha is all about. We have two parshas. The main thrust, or a major chunk, I don't know, maybe, but a significant chunk of parshas matos is the parsha of nedarim, to make vows. Parshas Maaseh is the parsha of journeys, of travel. What's the connection? Why is Parshas Matos connected to Parshas Maaseh? Parshas Matos are Nedarim. Parshas Maaseh are the journeys of Klal Yisrael. The 42 journeys of Klal Yisrael is Maaseh Avos Simin Labanim represents the goals of Klal Yisrael. The 42 journeys Klal Yisrael traveled in the desert foreshadow the journeys that Klal Yisrael would travel in this world up until the coming of Mashiach, until we finally return to Eretz Yisrael and settle in Eretz Yisrael permanently. Maaseh Avos Simin Labanim. Just like Yaakov Avinu, before he set out to travel, to go to Lavan and live in Golos, to live with a charlatan, a phony, a fraud, a ganef. Bikesh arami oyved avi. Bikesh lovon la'akar es ha'koil. He wanted to thoroughly destroy Klal Yisrael. That's what we say in the Haggadah. What more goals could there possibly be? Yaakov Avinu went to live with a man who literally wanted to destroy him through and through. Golos. And what did Yaakov Avinu do before he entered into that matzav? Vayidar Yaakov neder lemar. He was mechazek himself. He disciplined himself. He took the Shem Hashem, he made a neder. He did things to fortify himself. He did not rely upon the zuchus avos of Avraham and Yitzchak. He had to do something for himself. He had to go set up safeguards by making a vow, committing himself. These are very lofty concepts. And only then would he be fortified to go into Golis. Vayisa Yaakov Raglov was able to lift up his feet and travel, Vayelich, to travel to the arts of the Nekedah. That's exactly the pattern of these two parshas. Matos comes before Masse. Before we go out on the journey of the Masois, the 42 Masois in Parshas Masse, comes Parshas Matos. The words of the all the different varieties of Nidorim, vows. When you go out into Golus, don't rely upon Zuchus Avos. You have to do something, you have to contribute something to yourself. Of course, at the end of the day, we all need Zuchus Avos. No one's coming to deny that. Look at Avram, look at Yitzchak, look at Yaakov. But if you're going to sit back and only rely upon Zuchus Avos, it's not going to work. When you try to rely and do something for yourself, your own merit, then the Zuchus Avos comes to be mechazik you and to supplement and to protect you. But if you're just going to sit back and rely upon Zuchus Avos, then when you go out into the dangerous world of Golus, you're not going to succeed. The two parashiyos must be connected. Before we begin the Eile Masois, the journeys of Klal Yisrael, which represents the principle of Golos, Ma'is of Asim Labanim, there has to be a Parashas Matos. There has to be a sugya of vows, Nidorim. And Nidorim doesn't just mean you take a vow. Nidorim represents what, help yourself. Don't rely upon other people. You have to have your own merit, your own zuchus, in order. Your own merit, your own zuchus, in order to be successful, in order to survive. I'll give you another example to this principle. This is in Parashas Chukas. In Parashas Chukas, right after the Petira of Aaron, which today is his yahrzeit, Aaron HaKohen died today on Rosh Chodesh Av. Rosh Chodesh Av is the yahrzeit of Aaron. That's why even those who hold. Yes, that's what it says. Okay, but Aaron, it says explicitly in the Torah that today is the day when he died. And when Aaron died, what happened? The Anane HaKavod disappeared. Gone. Anane HaKavod were gone. So what then does it say? They right away, the Kananim, they saw that no one's protecting Klal Yisrael. So what? They attacked. They attacked Klal Yisrael and they took captives. Let me go to the Pasuk Parashas Chukas. Okay, Parashas Chukas. What happens? Aaron dies. Okay, it's in Chukas Perek Chav, Pasuk Chav Gimel. Vayoymer Hashem el Moshe v'el Aaron b'horohar al gul eretz edoim leimor ye'osef aharon el amav. Ki lo yavo el aretz asher nosati levnei Yisrael asher merisan espi mei moriva. Okay, he dies. Vayiru cholo edo ki gova aharoin, vayivku es aroin shloishim yoim kol beis Yisrael. What's the next pasuk? Vayishma hakenani melech arod yoshev hanegev ki bo Yisrael derecho asorim, vayilochem bi Yisrael vayish mimenu shavi. They went to battle. Rashi, why? Suddenly now did they go to battle? So Rashi says, because when Aaron died, Shama Shemes Aaron, v'nistalku anani kavod, k'di isa b'resh Hashanah v'yamolik me'olam ritzur mardas li'yishol mizumim b'chol eis l'kudonis. As when soon as Aaron died, the anani ha'kavod disappeared, Klal Yisrael were now vulnerable, and now they went to attack. So what was the next? So until as long as Aaron was alive and his merit, Klal Yisrael were protected. They were protected by the Anani HaKavod. Now that Aaron HaKohen dies, the protection goes away. They're vulnerable and Canaan attacks. What's the next pasuk? Vayidar Yisrael neder laHashem. All of a sudden, the Jewish people, wholesale, are taking vows. They took a vow. What is a vow? I mean, a vow is a very complicated principle, but basically what a vow means, I'm going to do something special to earn my own merit so Hashem should protect me, Hashem should save me. I'm going to go the extra step. Okay, like today a person wants a zuchus, so they make a gemach, they give an enormous amount of tzedakah, they say tehillim. Vayidar is a general, literally you take a vow, you make a shavua, Hashem, if you do this, I'll give a donation, I'll fast. Neder can be a million different things, but it basically means you commit yourself. You commit yourself, Hashem Hashem, to go the extra step, to take upon yourself something new, something that ordinarily you would not do, and now because I'm desperate, I am in trouble, I feel that I need merit. I need merit. I don't have any merit to survive this ordeal, so I'm going to take upon myself activities to earn zuchusim. So they did this. The whole Klal Yisrael did this. Vayidar Yisrael neder lemar laHashem vayomar im nosayin titein es ha'am hazeh b'yadi. We are now under attack. We are vulnerable. We're going to be killed. Oh, what about all of the zuchusim of Klal Yisrael? Har Sinai, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov? All that. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You can have all the merit, all of the zuchus avos. If there's an avera, rachmanu litzlan can come and can wipe it all out. They took a neder that Hashem should save them from the Canaanim. In Masayin Titein Asa Amar Zed Yodi V'Hacharanti Yesarehem. Then you will save us. We will destroy their cities and chere. And basically donate all of the spoils of war to the Beis HaMikdash. Vayishma Hashem v'kol Yisrael. Hashem listened, not to the Zuchus Avos, not to Shemayim Tzadikim being mispalel for you. Hashem listened to their prayers. Vayitin es kaknani vayachadim esem v'yisrahim vayikro shem ha'malkoim charma. So what do you see over here? And what's happened over here in this story in Parshas Bukas? Until this point of time, Klal Yisrael had the zuchus of Aaron. Aaron, HaKoyen, in his merit, he was protecting them. They were sheltered. They had Anane HaKovoid, sheltered the Jewish people in the merit of Aaron. Aaron passes away. The Anane HaKovoid disappear. Klal Yisrael is now vulnerable. How are we going to go forward? Vayidar Yisrael neder laHashem. Today, Rabbi Yisai, is the Petira, the anniversary of the Petira of Aaron HaKohen. Today is a day in Jewish history, and the Torah does not record too many yahrzeits. In fact, I don't think, how many yahrzeits do we have on record? Only think two. I think Aaron HaKohen is recorded explicitly, and Nadav Avihu.
But Moshe Rabbeinu.
No, it doesn't say the date. It does not say anywhere in the Torah that Moshe died on Zayin Adar. And in fact, you'll be shocked to know that some of the Rishonim learned that he didn't die on Zayin Adar. We have other dates. Halacha l'maisa we pass in the Shulchan Aruch Zayin Adar. It's Shulchan Aruch, it's a Yom Tzayim fast. They actually have in this room over here, they have a Chevra Kadisha. A Chevra Kadisha comes into this room over here, and they have a minyan every year on Zayin Adar, the yard side of Moshe Rabbeinu. It doesn't say that in the Torah anywhere. That's Mesorah. That is a Mesorah, that it's Zayinad. The only yahrzeit that it says took place on the Torah is Moish, is Aaron HaKoyen, Roish on Behor HaHar, on the fifth month, today. It doesn't say explicitly. It does not say it explicitly. It doesn't even say in the Torah they killed him explicitly. It's a Medrash. How do you know that he was killed? It's a Mesorah. You're right, all these things we know. We have a whole long list. Baruch Hashem, Rav Meir Appeldorf, every day he announced the yahrzeits. And there's a long, long list, a telephone book of yahrzeits. But what does the Torah go out of its way to actually mention the date, the calendar date? If I'm not mistaken, only two. Maybe there are more, but I think two is Nadav Avihu. They died in Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and Aaron HaKoyen on Rosh Chodesh Adar. And that is why these two these two Rosh Chodeshim, one is permitted to fast, even though ordinarily you're not allowed to fast on Rosh Chodesh. It's a day where you're not allowed to fast, but these two, technically speaking, you can fast. And Chos and Kala get married in Chodesh Nisan, the meaning is they fast. They can fast, they should fast, even though it is Rosh Chodesh, because this is a different day. None of you died. Adar, people don't get married in Chodesh Adar, so it's not a gay when it comes to that. But other types of situations where a person wants to fast, there are exceptions, because Chodesh Av is recorded in the Torah as the Yom B'Tir of Aaron. What is the significance of Aaron HaKohen's passing away? It's now time to grow up and be a big boy and take care of yourself. And don't rely upon your parents or other people to come to your rescue. Okay, we all in life, until a certain point, we have training wheels. We always have a safety net, and we always feel that we're relying upon other people to take care of us. The day comes when you have to grow up and take care of yourself and rely upon your own personal merit, and that's today. And that is Rosh Chodesh Av. Because this day in Klal Yisrael, in history, Ma'is Avosim Labanim Klal Yisrael, they were sheltered. They had free rent. They had protection, security, in the Zuchus of Aaron HaKohen. The Anani HaKavod sheltered them, took care of them. It caused that their clothing to make that it should not get worn out. All of the various needs they had was in the Zuchus of Aaron, and now that he died, it's now time to grow up. You're on your own. And it's not a coincidence that this parasha, which deals with passion, and what is the story behind it? Behind this, the story behind this is in Parashat Chukas. In Parashat Chukas, when Aaron dies, now Klal Yisrael find himself in a vulnerable state, and now it's time for them to grow up and earn their own merit. And the way you earn your own merit, there's a metaphor, is Vayidar Yisrael Neder Lamar. What are we doing for ourselves? What's our own zuchus? They took a neder, their own zuchus. Oh, now Hashem came to protect them. This week, this week's parasha, Parashas Matas Maaseh, which always coincides with the Petira, the yard site of Aaron HaKohen, that is explicitly mentioned, illustrates exactly the same principle. Aaron HaKohen today has died. That has an effect upon the Zman. It is now a Tukufa in Klal Yisrael, this time of the year, with the Petira on the Yom of the Misa of Aaron HaKohen, where Hashem is Toivea. He is demanding from Klal Yisrael, it's time for you to grow up. Don't rely anymore upon your parents, the Zuchus Avos. Of course, you have the Zuchus Avos. No one's coming to take that away from you. But you have to grow up and you have to be your own man. You have to contribute something that in that merit you deserve my kindness, my grace, and my kindness to you. And today's that day. And when that happens, the parasha, it's arranged, it's not a coincidence that we read Parashas Matos. And Parashas Matos is the parasha that delineates every single detail about taking a vow, of making a neder, which is a symbol, a metaphor for do something for yourself. You have to have your own zuchus. And when you'll have your own zuchus, you'll be able now to go forward. You'll be able to travel. The Eile Masa B'nei Yisrael, you'll be able to move ahead and travel. So Sach HaKol, we have basically two stories in the Torah that prepare us for today. The story of Yaakov Avinu, Yidar Yaakov Neder Lamar. When Yaakov Avinu, as he began to begin the process of Golos, of going to Lavan, to an environment of what Chazal tell us, Arami Oved Avi, Lavan Bikesh La'akar Es HaKol, the ultimate Golos, and to show Klal Yisrael how to survive in Golos, you need your own Zuchus. And even though Yaakov Avinu came loaded to the hilt with Zuchus Avos, Avraham and Yitzhak, the Brachos, didn't matter. before Yaakov Avinu entered the home of Lavan, Vayidar Yaakov Neder Lemar. And the other example is in Parshas Chukas, when Aaron Avinu dies, and now the Anan Yaakov will depart, and now Klal Yisrael are vulnerable. They need their own merit. And what's the merit? Nidarim. Vayidar Yisrael Neder LaHashem Vayomar. If you'll be with us, we commit ourselves. And in both of these instances, the neder of Klal Yisrael or Yaakov Avinu, Yaakov is Yisrael, the Yaakov and Yisrael, that's the same name. In that merit, Klal Yisrael survived. And now, today is a day, it's not just a day, it's the day of Aaron HaKoyin's Petira, and it's the Chodesh Av, it is the Zman of when ours, the Beis HaMikdash has been taken from us. The Beis HaMikdash, when the Beis HaMikdash was resting in Klal Yisrael, the Beis HaMikdash is in essence the Anani HaKavod. The Beis HaMikdash is the Makkah of the Hashuas HaShchina of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when the Beis HaMikdash is no longer with us, how are we going to survive? How are we going to survive if the Shechin is not with us? Parshas Matos, it's the time now to grow up, to take upon yourself responsibility. And that is captured in the metaphor of Nidorim. The parish of Nidorim, and only with the parish of Nidorim can we now proceed to go into the Ma'asois of our personal lives, and B'derech Klal, the Ma'asois of Klal Yisrael, traveling in time until we reach our destination of the Geula of Mashiach. Okay, so this is one idea I wanted to share. Now I want to share with you another idea. Parshas Maaseh. Okay, this is a new idea. It's not even totally new, but I want to try to bring out a point. Parshas Maaseh, once upon a time we spoke about the repetition. The word Parsha begins, Eile Maaseh V'nei Yisrael Asher Yotzu Me'eretz Mitzrayim L'tzilus. These are the journeys. B'yad Moshe V'yara. Okay, these are the journeys. And then it says a very interesting pasuk. V'yichtoiv Moshe. Moshe wrote down, "Es motzo ehem lemas ehem al pi Hashem ve'ele," and these are mas ehem lemotzo ehem. There are two words here that repeat themselves again and again. One word is motzo ehem, lashon of hoitza, to exit, to take leave. Right, you have an exit sign on the door. Nice exit sign on the door. And then there's a sign of Maasehem, you know, the arrows. You think about it, you go to the airport, you leave the shul, you leave your home, exit. And then as you go to the exit, there are arrows to this terminal, terminal 4, terminal this, terminal that, a lot of arrows. So think about it in terms of there's an exit sign and the arrows. And when Klal Yisrael, they were living in Egypt, Moshe, there was no exit sign for the 210 years they were in Egypt, because no slave leaves Egypt. It's like the Roach Motel. You check in, but you don't check out. Egypt was the original Roach Motel. No one checks out of Egypt. There are no exit signs in Egypt. There are no exits on the highway in Egypt, because no one ever leaves Egypt. Along comes Moshe Rabbeinu and he says to Klal Yisrael, guess what? I put up a big exit sign by the entrance of Egypt. And it took a lot of conditioning, ten makos. Makas Bechairos, a whole story, until finally the day came when Klal Yisrael was ready to leave. And then when they left, what happened? We were a lot of traveling, we were a lot of journeys, a lot of arrows to follow. Like a treasure hunt. To go finally to reach Eretz Yisrael. The word Motzo Ehem refers to the exit. You're going to leave Egypt And as you reach each destination, you're also going to leave that particular destination to go to the next destination. The word Maaseihem refers to the journey. It refers like to the arrow. Where are we going next? Where is our next stop? When will we finally reach the ultimate destination of Eretz Yisrael? You have to think about whenever a person travels, let's say you want to go on vacation. You had enough of being around here in Flatbush, you go on vacation. What is the goal of vacation? Mark, what happens when you go on vacation? There are two things you're doing. Number one, I want to get away from where I am. I want to just get out of here. It's not relevant where I'm going. I don't care. I don't care where we, just let's get out of here. I can't take the humidity. I can't take the people. I can't take society. I just have to get out of here. Where are we going to go? I don't care. We'll go to the moon. We'll go to Mars. We'll go to Kalamazoo. Just let's get out of this neighborhood. And then you have a situation where a person, I want to go to Paris. I want to go to Eretz Yisrael. I want to go to Florida. I want to go to Los Angeles. You want to go somewhere. It's not, I would love to stay here. I love this neighborhood. It's just, I want to see the world. I want to travel the world. Every time you travel, you go on vacation, you're really doing both. On the one hand, I gotta get out of here. I gotta just have a change of scenery. It's the Motzo'ehem. Mitzat Sheni, it's the Masehem. I want to see the world. I want to see Florida. I want to see, what does it look like? Boca Raton. What does a pond here look like? I want to go somewhere. What does a swimming pool look like? I want to go somewhere. So when you're going away, you're always doing two things. You're Motzo'ehem, you're leaving, and you're also Masehem, you're going somewhere. Oh, I can't wait to see my grandchildren in Eretz Yisrael. That's the Masehem. The Motzo'ehem, and I can't wait to get out of here. I'm tired of this place. I need a change of scenery. What's the Ikar? What is the Ikar? What is the Tofa? So it depends. Sometimes the Ikar is your destination. And sometimes the Ikar, I don't really want to go there. Because when I go there, they're going to drive me crazy. And they're not going to give me any menucha. And they're going to step on me and they're going to demand things from me. But I got to get out of here. It's still the lesser of the evils because I have to be Motzo'ehem. So when Klal Yisrael left Egypt, it was both. It was both. What was it both? If Klal Yisrael would have remained in the Mitzrayim even one more second, Chazal said they would have sunk to a level of impurity where they would be beyond return. They were in a rapid decline. Egypt is the Erva Soaretz, the capital of immorality, the capital of promiscuity, the capital of the world of the worst morals that man could invent. They had to get out of there. It had to be Motzo'ehem, not a minute too soon. Mitzat Sheni, Hashem promised Klal Yisrael Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Zovas Cholav Udvash. Hashem promised Klal Yisrael, can you imagine what it's going to be like to live in Eretz Yisrael? The place Zahav Ha'aretz Ahi Toiva, Shom HaBedoilach V'Even HaShoyam, the spirituality of Eretz Yisrael. Masehem. So there was a dual purpose. There was a dual purpose in leaving Egypt, to get out of Egypt, because V'lo Yochlu L'Hismamea Mitzat Sheni, this is the land of Eretz Zovas Chalav Udvash, the land that Hashem promised to the others. So what was it? 42 journeys, 42 journeys to do this. What were they doing? Well, they were leaving, get far away from this contaminated radioactive site, get far away. Don't get far away from this place. Mitzat Sheni, the Eretz HaKodesh. So it says explicitly in the Pasuk, it's both. It's both. It's esmot vayichdei Moshe esmot so'ehem. They were the primary word is to leave. They were leaving lamasehem to reach a destination on their journey. But then it says the other way around. The eile and the following are the Maaseihem. The goal was the destination, which is Lamot Soehem, based upon their departure. The Pasuk purposely repeats this twice in two directions. The Pasuk purposely repeats it twice in two directions to show you that there were two elements. There were two things happening at the same time, and each one was significant in its own right. V'lo yochlu lehismamea, that's the motzoehem, and also there was the ilam masehem lemotzoehem, is where are we going, and they were happening simultaneously. Okay, that is a vart that we spoke about in the guest. I wonder, is it something very new which caught my attention? This is an extremely unusual pasuk, literally to an extreme, with an exponent upon it. This pasuk, the second pasuk in Parashas Matzah. What do I say? Does anyone pick up what the extreme point is? It says with Vayichtoiv. Moshe wrote down. What is he writing down? He wrote down? Moshe wrote the entire Torah. In Parashas Vayelech it says, Vayichtoiv Moshe. Moshe wrote down, I've only found the pasuk, he wrote down the entire Torah. Okay, then he says, he tells Klal Yisrael, you have a mitzvah, the atah, and now, kisru lochem es hashira hazais. And the shira refers to the whole Torah, basically. Okay, hazim refers basically to the whole Torah. And Moshe, it says, b'feirush, he wrote, he wrote Moshe, in Parashas Vayelech, Moshe, he wrote down the whole Torah. Okay, he wrote down the whole Torah. Remember, I find the pasuk over here, in Parashas Vayelech. Okay, let's see what it says over here. The Chorapi was about the Atua. Now Kisun Tashir Hazos. That's the pasuk of the Hazos. Vayikichalos Moshe. When Moshe finished, Lichtoiv es Divrei HaTorah Hazos al Sefer Atumam. Back in pasuk of Beis, it says Vayichtoiv Moshe es Tashir Hazos. Vayilamda es Bnei Yisrael. Moshe, he wrote down the entire Torah. When he wrote down the entire Torah, it means he wrote down Parshas Bereishis, Parshas Noach, and Lech Lecha, and Shemos, and Vo'erebo, and Vayikra, Bamit. Of course he wrote it down. Of course, Moshe, he wrote down the whole Torah. It doesn't say, and after our Parshas Vayikra, Vayichtoiv Moshe, the halacha is in all the laws of the Karban Oila, the Karban Chatas, the Karban Shlamim, the Karban Ashram. It doesn't say after Parashas Vayikra, the Moshe Rabbeinu, he wrote down all these things. Of course he wrote it down. What's the Chiddush? So what is it over here? Vayichtoiv Moshe es motzoehem lemat. What's going on? Now, once it says that, once we have that question, now take note that Moshe only wrote down one half of the pasuk. Vayichtoiv Moshe es motzoehem lemaseihem. Then we just spent 10 minutes explaining there are two different directions, there are two different elements. There is the chitzah and the hachnosa, the motzoehem lemaseihem. Moshe only wrote down the motzoehem lemaseihem, al pi Hashem, but doesn't say anywhere in this pasuk that Moshe wrote down the maseihem lemotzoehem. I mean, we know that he wrote it down because we have it in front of us, and that is included in what it says at the end of the Torah, Vayichtoiv Moshe es ha-sefer ha-Torah es ha-sefer hazeh, atuma. But when it comes to the Maaseihem l'motzoehem, it says ve'eleh. These are the Maaseihem l'motzoehem. He leaves it out. There's a contrast. You don't need the word Vayichtoiv altogether. If the pasuk would just say in this pasuk, Eile motzeihem lemaseihem lemaseihem lemotze, you obviously want to say both. Obviously you want to say them both. So why do you have to say by the first half of the pasuk, Vayichtoiv, and by the second half of the pasuk, to, in contrast, to deliberately omit Vayichtoiv and say the word Eile? What's going on over here? So what it sounds like, let's try to say a Jewish, and you can say a lot of different ideas on what's going on here, but we all know good and well that there is something Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebalteh. Tarsha b'chsav is you know, Tarsha b'chsav. Tarsha b'alpeh is the Mesor. It's the Mesor that Hashem gave down in Sinai. It's been passed on traditionally. Al piyad varmo eila. Today, of course, because of Eitz Lasas, everything's put in writing. And what I'm trying to suggest over here is that, you know, the Masois of Klal Yisrael is really Jewish history. It's Jewish history. Sha'al avicha v'yageitcha zikeinecha v'yarmulach. The 42 Masois of Klal Yisrael are Ma'isav Asim Labanim. It's the journeys of Klal Yisrael in Golos until the time of the Mashiach. When Klal Yisrael finally came into Eretz Yisrael, that's Mesamel Mashiach, the Gula. Leaving Mitzrayim is the beginning of our history. The difficulties of traveling in the desert, Lechtech Acharayim Bamidbar B'Eretz Lo Yisrua, a place that's, it's impossible to survive. There's no way in the world you can survive in the desert for 40 years. It was nothing less than a miracle. And that represents Jewish history, the survival of Klal Yisrael in Golos for now, for 1,952 years, is nothing less than miraculous. And that is rooted in the Masois of Klal Yisrael. So let's talk Jewish history. Let's talk. Take out a nice book. You know, the history of the Jews, Josephus is already outdated because there's a lot more that happened since the time of Josephus. Take out a barrel wine, history book, you take out, you know, go online, there's no limit to history books. And they'll tell you what happened. Are they really telling you what happened? Are they really telling you the full story of what happened? Impossible. There's no way you can ever really capture, report the news. Okay, you go online, you go, what happened today in the world? What happened yesterday in the news? What happened when Biden went to visit Eretz Yisrael? Give me a report. There's no way it is humanly possible to actually tell me what happened, because any statement of fact, there is an injection of your interpretation. That's the reality. You're gonna tell me facts? Even if you attempt to report the facts in the barest skeleton form, the words you choose, the nuance of expression, will automatically reveal your biases and your ideas and your position. That's the way the world is. There's nothing you can do about that. That's the way Hashem made the world. That's why, you know, it's healthy to read many different, when you want to get a report of what happened, read a few different newspapers, because each one's going to present a different perspective, even if they try their very hardest not to. And even with all that, it's still not, you know, I mean, there's only that much you can do. Jewish history. There are two types of Jewish history. There is the Jewish history called the Motzoehem L'maseihem, the departure. When you look in Jewish history, you look at Jewish history from the perspective of what happened. What happened? The Jews left Egypt. The Jews, they went from Egypt to Har Sinai. At Har Sinai, they went to the next location. You can write it down. Okay, you do it the best that you can. Vayichtoiv. Moshe, he wrote down Es Motzoehem L'maseihem. When you look at an event from the perspective of what happened, of a record from the past, you can write it down, you can make a record. But if you want to really know what really happened, you're not going to find it in writing. You're going to have to hear someone's going to have to tell it to you from a different perspective, from the perspective of looking into the future, from the perspective, the Eile Maseihem. Go back in history and stand in the shoes of the people living at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and them telling you, where are you going? How come everyone is lined up? Where's everyone going today? You're in Egypt. We're traveling. Where are you going? We're leaving. We're going to Eretz Yisrael. We're going to Har Sinai. Ve'ele ma'aseihem l'motzoihem. We're here, and we're the key word you put in front, the word ma'aseihem. We're going, we're traveling. You want to study Jewish history? So when you're going to study Jewish history, you're going to study it, you're going to read a book. And when you're going to read a book, you're going to read a book that was written now, reflecting what happened in the past. What happened in the past was the Jews, they left Egypt. Once upon a time, back 3,000 something years ago, the Jews left Egypt. The Jews left Egypt. And then they left this location. That, when the focus is Motso Ehem, then the appropriate record is with Vayichtoiv. But that's not an accurate, and you have no choice. That's the way the world is. That's not an accurate description of history. If you really want to get a flavor of what really happened, with obviously even that's not possible, but it gives you a very different perspective. It's not going to be found in writing, because writing is always a record from the past, from present, looking back at what happened. You have to go, Moshe then says, Ve'ele, let's review. Moshe's now is on the border, the boundary. What's the word? The precipice of Eretz Yisrael. And now he says, Ve'ele, let me tell you about, let's review 40 years of history. But let's review it from going back in time and standing in Egypt, not knowing what's going to happen. Let's take out of our mind the ego, the meraglim, all of the fighting, koirach, all of the bitterness, all of the complaints. Let's stand in back in time and look at our masehem, our journeys, and let's talk about it. That will create a whole new flavor of appreciation of what really happened. There are two ways to look at history. You can look at history from now, the present, looking back. And you can look at history, you can study history from putting yourself in the past and looking into the future, looking forward with your hopes, aspirations, your goals.
The Torah is not a history book.
It's not a history book, but there are lessons to learn. The Torah is a history book to a degree. Yeah. Torah is an instruction. Torah means instructions. There are instructions and lessons that come by the study of history. Well, you're not going to say there's no history. Bereish, Bara, Elokim, Yesh, Ramei, Esaretz, Noach, Yaakov, all those. When we say history, we don't mean it as history. We study events and we learn lessons. When you study events and learn lessons, there are two different perspectives. You can study the lessons from now looking backwards, and you can learn lessons and Torah is Torah, from forget about what will happen. Stand in the shoes of Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu at that time doesn't know what's going to happen. He doesn't know that if he's not, he doesn't know that Hashem's going to, that when Nimrod is going to throw him to a fire, Hashem's going to save him. As far as Avraham Avinu knows, if I jump into the fire, I'm going to die. If they throw me in there, I'm going to die. There's nothing to talk about. So were you only going to study the Torah in hindsight? And now we know Avraham Avinu was saved. No, there are two perspectives. And if you're only going to study one perspective, you're not getting the full picture. And when you deal with Vayichtoiv is a written record. A written record means, by definition, it's Motso Ehem L'Masehem. Because that's that looks at things from now looking backwards. What happened? Well, we left. We made a departure. But when you look at history from the perspective of forgetting, make believe, you don't know what's going to happen. Go in a time machine back to an earlier time and look into the future. That's called the Eile Masehem L'motzev, and that's not what the word Vayichtoiv. There's nothing to write. It didn't happen yet. Kesiva is a record of what happened. It did not yet happen. Learn from the Torah history with the excitement and the anxiety of not knowing what's going to be. It's not a kash. That's a different concept. Here we're studying Golus. We're studying. This is the story of Jewish history. The Ma'asois of Klal Yisrael is the story of. It's not over yet because we're in America. Where are we today? We're still in America. The Ma'asois are not yet over yet. But the Ma'asois is a microcosm of the study of Jewish history. And in Jewish history, there are two ways to look. There is Vayichtoiv Moshe. At the end, Moshe, he wrote down the Motzoihem L'masehem. And then there's another way to study what happened during those 40 years. Don't use the word Ksiva. Don't use the word Ksiva. Eila, Dibur, Moshe speaking. And Moshe changes the order now. It's the Masehem L'motzoihem. Do you remember when we was in Egypt and we were nervous, we were scared, we were young, idealistic, naive, we were maminim, we didn't know from the Egel. Do you remember that excitement? Remember that. There's what to learn from that. You'll need in your life to replicate that. This Eile Masehem L'motzoihem. Okay, to wind down. Sorry?
A storybook versus a lesson book.
Okay, that's an interesting term, okay. Okay, so this is basically what I wanted to say, just to conclude that, you know, there's a it's the end of the Torah. One last Yisod, the end of the Torah. And this is the Gemara before. And Moshe Rabbeinu, basically, he's leaving. He's beginning to give his final. Before he gives his review, he gives scathing Musa to God Reuven and God Reuven. They come to Moshe. They were not part of the deal. Moshe, he assigned Menashe, but God and Reuven, they're the only ones. They said, Moshe, we don't want to go into Eretz Yisrael. It's good enough. Eved Hayarden. Nick Neraf, what were they thinking? It's a big mystery. What were they thinking? They have animals, they care about the animals so much. Nick Neraf, Eveh Hayarden, okay, it's a very big mystery. And Moshe goes on to give a tirade. I've not nothing before. There's no precedent to this, to the Moshe got angry many times in the Torah. But you know, it was just a pasuk or two. Moshe here goes a whole column. It's not much a whole column. Baal Kriya, I have to read a whole column. Moshe goes on a tirade and he says, what? After all this? After all this, you don't want to go? You're just going to abandon your brethren? The Lama Sini'un. And his last message is basically responsibility for your fellow Jew. How dare you abandon your fellow Jew? Everyone else is going into Eretz Yisrael. And they need you. Everyone needs each other to fight, to conquer, to divide, to survive. And you're now coming to abandon your fellow man? Where's the achdus? This goes against the entire grain of what Yitzias Mitzrayim was all about. Vayichan shom Yisrael neged ha'har ki ish echad b'lev echad. Selfish. Extreme selfishness. To abandon your brethren, not go with them into Eretz Yisrael to fight, to let them fend for themselves. And Moshe just goes ballistic on them. And that's the message. That really is the message of the end of the Torah. After everything is said and done, the last message of Moshe Rabbeinu is responsibility. Torah is Torah, instruction. Tayag mitzvahs. There's mitzvahs ben Adam lachaveroi, Adam lamokon, Adam lachavero. And it's not just Adam lachavero, you know, do this and do this. It's an achrayos, a responsibility to cover someone's back, to make sure your friends, and this is the lesson, we're holding out the Bein HaMitzarim, with the Spitz, right in the middle, Rosh Chodesh Av, the Churban Beis HaMikdash, Sinas Chinam. What is Sinas Chinam all about? We discussed this, three different Mahalachim of Sinas Chinam. Indifference. Chinam, there's no such thing, one of the Mahalachim of Sinas Chinam is indifference, I couldn't care less. There's no such thing as hating someone for no reason. If you hate someone, you hate them for very good reason. It's not chinam. So what is it in sinas chinam? So we had a whole share on this. And one of the mahalachim sinachim is indifference. I just don't care. I don't care about you. That's called chinam. I don't care about you. That's mamish what Moshe Rabbeinu's last final message to Klal Yisrael is before he reviews the Torah. You're just going to abandon your brothers. You don't care about them. You're selfish. You're going to live here in Eva Hayarim because if you have pasture land and they should go into a war zone and die and fight for themselves, and you're going to sit in your land and just make believe you know nothing ever happened, you couldn't care less? What kind of Jews are you? What kind of Jews are you? This is the message that has been arranged by Chazal for us to listen and hear and take Musa from during the Bein HaMitzarim. Because it's because of this we have all the problems in Klal Yisrael. The Churban Bayis has been destroyed because of Sinas Chinam. And if it has not been rebuilt, it's because of this, because we couldn't care less about anyone else but ourselves. Okay, Rabbi Sai, I wish you good shots before we conclude over here. We have a very chasha person in Eretz Yisrael. He has a Rosh Koilel, a very chasha of a Koilel where they are omel in the Toiras Eretz Yisrael. Talmud Yerushalmi. They published a very beautiful Kosher Sarim Talmud Yerushalmi. And if you like to see the Sarim, maybe there are other Sarim, please look at the Sarim, even if you know someone that would like something, if not, if you want to be mishtatef in the project, in helping Talmidei Chachamim in Eretz Yisrael, be oisek in Harbotzas HaTorah, specifically the Harbotzas HaTorah of Eretz Yisrael, by all means. And we welcome you from Eretz Yisrael, and you should have a lot of hatzlach in what you do.